The march of children into our world continues, thank goodness, and so do a whole host of age-old problems. Resisting bedtime, biting, talking back, ignoring requests, whining, screen addiction, and did I mention refusing to go to bed? Parenting experts Jerry Wyckoff and Barbara Unell are back with an updated guidebook to help parents navigate these problems that never seem to go away. The book is Discipline with Love and Limits, How to Raise Well-Behaved Children and Calmly Manage the 43 Most Common Behavior Problems. Barbara Unell is a co-founder of Twins Magazine and Kansas City Parent. She's co-authored more than a dozen books on parenting, and Barbara, it's always good to have you here. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Jerry Wyckoff is a child psychologist who's been helping parents and their kids for more than 40 years. He's co-authored 5 books on parenting with Barbara. And Jerry, welcome back to you too.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Barbara, you mean to tell me there's a way to calmly manage these issues? Because when I think of parenting, I don't often associate the word calm with that idea.
Yes, yes. That's you're not alone in that in yes. that capacity, right? Well, and that is exactly our point, is that first things first, calming yourself down, because your first reaction might be, what? I can't believe that happened, right? I can't believe he said that or she said that or whatever.
Well, that's never happened to me
and
before.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then there's all that. Like, what? You're so surprised. And what? Your first reaction is anger. So, indeed, calming down. And as you know, I think your kids are past this toddler stage, right, I recall?
Yes, but the lack of calm sometimes still infiltrates the house. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, well, and there you go. I mean, that's an interesting trigger, right? There's some triggers there that kids, and they learn. So calming is the first step.
Jerry, why is remaining calm so important for a parent just in general?
Well, it's important simply because when we're calm, we can think. When we're angry, when we're upset, thinking goes away. And so if you're really going to problem solve, you've got to be able to think. You've got to be able to strategize, to plan, to relate to anybody. I mean, how is it that a child can relate to a parent who is angry and hostile and threatening? It's that bully that comes out of us when we are angry.
We'll talk about that whole idea of spanking in just a few minutes. But Jerry, those problems I ticked off at the start of the show have been around for a long time. And I'm wondering, are the challenges facing parents these days changing, or are we talking about new approaches to the same old problems here?
Well, I think it's the same old problems. Children are going to be children, and they go through developmental milestones the world over. You go any place in the world, and children will behave in essentially the same way at different ages. And so the problems that children have or present to us are the same. It's the environment that's changing, the electronic media. And the biggest one is children are not raised by parents anymore. It's a whole team of people who are involved.
Well, wait a minute, not just by parents. I want to make sure that but Jerry's right. I mean, it is this whole team approach. And thinking of it like that, back to your calm comment, the daycare provider, child care provider, let's call it that because that's a more appropriate word, preschool teacher, elementary school teachers, whatever, grandparents, they're all in this mix, right? Because of the of all kinds of societal kinds of things. So back to keeping calm, is everyone on the same page? Is everyone keeping calm? Because you may be calm as a parent. You may decide that might be your nature. But how about if you have to take care of, 18 kids, how's calm going then? And this team approach is big.
Give me some fodder to use against my dad, Jerry. Is it more difficult being a parent these days than it was when he raised me?
No.
Oh, come on. That wasn't the answer I wanted.
The parenting is essentially the same. It's just that the distractions that we have as parents are much greater than they were back then.
Meaning it's tougher to focus on your kids?
Yes, much tougher to focus on your kids.
And the consequence of that is what?
Your kids don't think you care. The kids don't think you're around. The kids don't think you believe in them.
Yeah. One of the issues, Barbara, that you touch on in this book is a modern day problem, and that's screen addiction. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that the right way to approach this one is to start early. Am I right about that?
Yes, and the name of the book is Discipline with Love and Limits, and both those things come into play here. And even in your own behavior, back to what you want to do when you want to do it, and back to calming, it's a good way, a kind of thread that runs through this conversation. You got all these emails piling up, and your phone is dinging, and like Jerry said, there's so many distractions, and And we know, you know, that the kids are seeing that. They know how to swipe the phone at 18 months of age. I mean, they see you, they're watching. And so how do you make rules? How do you make limits on that for them and for you, but keep them, focused on really what helps the brain learn? Because that's what we're talking about with little kids, is this is all impacts, you know, their reading ability, their word, the number of words they have, how their brain is processing information. So it's more than just limiting the social media or limiting the use of computers. It's also about providing stimulation, creative stimulation for the kids, so that their brain grows, so they can have those skills later on. It's not just as simple as put away the computer.
So, Jerry, give me some strategies then, some concrete strategies when it comes to managing screen time here.
One of the strategies that we talk about in the book is called Grandma's Rule. I had a grandma who said, when you work, you eat. Well, we can translate that into when you've done this kind of play, or when you've had this kind of activity, then you may play with the computer or the cell phone for X number of minutes, using a timer, saying, okay, timer rings, the electronic device goes away. So Grandma's Rule is, when you've done what I'd like for you to do, then you may do what you want to do. And that's a strategy we can use for lots and lots of things.
How many minutes for a kid 4, 5, 6 years old are you talking about?
Well, depends on the child. Depends on what other activities are available. But I would say that 10 minutes a couple of times a day is plenty of time on screen. Yeah,
because you want them to focus. You want the kids to focus on other things.
So, other things, especially in social interaction.
Right.
But that also means that we as parents or caretakers have to be there for that social interaction. We can't depend on Facebook being the social life of a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old.
It's even interesting up at UMKC, where I spend a lot of my time now, and the kids are great, but you walk up and down the halls and people don't make eye contact.
Right.
People don't say hello. And when I first went to a college campus, I thought, God, this is going to be a real friendly, vibrant place. Well, it's not. It's a different kind of deal these days.
Exactly. And
that surprised me.
Particularly with the younger kids that we're talking about. I mean, really from the earliest years, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends, they did recommend no television, if you will, no screens under the age of 2. And now they're sort of, I think they're kind of looking at the reality of our situation here, and they're saying, well, to limit it to X number of minutes, for each child, but try still to keep that rule going. And that, again, I think talking to your kids about this is really important. Instead of just having this firm rule, like this many minutes or that many minutes, even the littlest ones, tell them why you're doing what you're doing, why you're saying this. It's like, I want to play with you. I want to have time with you. We want to go outside and, whatever the activity is outside, but why? And even if they won't understand what you're talking about, even if they don't understand, what do you mean, Mom, my brain or whatever, you can still be honest with them. And I think that's one of the things that is most exciting about having all these different caregivers, grandparents. You talked about, your dad, So talking to kids has been proven to actually increase their ability to their brain cells. And the study that was done at KU, actually, on reading and talking and language development. So we want you to have lots of words. Those kinds of things are true. So it's not just a matter of limiting the computer. It's also what you want for your child.
Yeah.
And so they, back to Jerry's point about building this relationship, and we have a whole section in the book about that, because that, again, comes into play. If you're looking at a screen or looking down, you can't have social learning. You don't learn social skills. You don't know please and thank you.
Barbara Unell and Jerry Wyckoff are in the house. Their new book, Discipline with Love and Limits. We're talking about resisting bedtime, biting, talking back, all those issues that so many of you parents are dealing with. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888 is our number here, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Jerry, this book is for parents with kids how old?
We go up to 8 in this book, and that's considered the age of the young child.
Yeah.
So anywhere from a year to 8.
You talk in here about a couple of interesting concepts, mindful parenting, and we talked about reducing stress in your children's environment. Mm-hmm. Let's start with mindful parenting. What is that?
Mindful parenting is when you're present for the child. You make eye contact, you interact, and it's just what we've been talking about. It's that social connection that we make with our child.
And the importance of reducing stress in your child's environment, what's that about?
Well, what we found in the research is that the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that says, essentially, don't do that, that's stupid. Yeah. You know, it's that governing part of the brain, is actually diminished when children are under what's known as toxic stress. And toxic stress is that stress reaction that children get when they're under threat. Mm-hmm. And so threat can be that parent looming over them saying, if you don't stop that, I'm going to smack you, or threat from alcoholic parent, or, you know, any environmental stressor that creates a flood of cortisol in the mm-hmm. blood, which
and I think
is
what's interesting about that is that it's not the stress itself, because kids, you know, everybody has stress, right?
Yeah.
But it's the lack of a caring, supportive, protective adult,
right?
Back to what we're talking about, helping to help that child problem solve, helping the child, you know, delay gratification so the kid wants, you know, the toy. I mean, I'm just using the common example, right? You know, mm-hmm. or wants something in the grocery store on the shelves, you know, in the checkout. That, of course, never happened. Right.
Right. No.
And so it seems like, well, you know, if you scream, no, you can't have that. Or if you teach the child, you know, we can't have that right now, but when we get home, we can da 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 da, whatever it is. It sounds like you're just giving an excuse, but really you're teaching this child how to cope with frustration. And that's a very important skill. Again, not learned without interaction, human interaction. Again, another reason why putting down the screens and having human interaction in a positive way is so critical to, as we're talking about, this brain development, yeah. but also reducing stress.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Tweet us at KCUR, up to date. Let's turn to this whole topic of spanking, Jerry, because this is going to attract some attention here. The two of you write that in this country, 78% of fathers, 66% of moms believe that a child sometimes needs a good, hard spanking. That suggests that the idea of spanking is sort of built into our culture. But then you say this, in simple terms, spanking is actually a form of bullying. What do you mean that spanking is a form of bullying?
Well, spanking is saying to the child, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to physically hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bullying. That's a form of bullying. So, you know, do you want to be a bully? And do you want your child to see you as a bully? When the facts are that there are so many different ways that we can make, or at least encourage children to do what we'd like for them to do,
mm-hmm.
to learn the things we'd like for them to learn without hitting them.
It's still, the idea is so built into our culture. Is it changing, Barbara, or not?
I think that there is the research and the information is getting out there. And in fact, you know, this show, again, wonderful to have this opportunity to talk about this, because the research, the brain research, as Jerry said, the heart research, it's been proven to actually lead to all kinds of problems, not to mention, you know, violence and issues around adult domestic violence, et cetera. We don't allow, you know, husbands and wives, girlfriends and boyfriends to hit each other when they get upset. Mm-hmm. So why do we promote or say that it's okay to spank?
We actually applaud children spanking, I mean, adults spanking their children.
Mm-hmm.
We think that's a great thing. Yeah,
tough
by golly.
You're standing up.
Right, yeah. Right.
Wait, let me clarify. We don't believe that.
But the impact on the child's brain, you've mentioned this already, Jerry. What does it do to the brain when it comes to a kid trying to focus in class, for instance?
Well, it keeps the child from focusing in class. As a matter of fact, the brain gets so flooded with this stress that they can't focus. As a matter of fact, the increase in hyperactivity is associated with the big stress that children experience.
I thought this was interesting, too, that you two say that spanking as punishment simply drives bad behavior underground.
Sure.
Right. Don't let me catch you. Don't let me catch you doing that, you know, we say to kids. Don't let me ever catch you crossing the street like that and give them a big swat.
And so they go away from the house.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, yeah, exactly. Fine, I get it. I won't let them catch me, but, you know, I'll do it. And again, we're going back to this notion of, you know, as we started out, it's not the easiest thing when we get upset. You know, we have that visceral reaction, particularly if we were spanked as kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about, we were discussing before the show, around 50 times a day, at least, parents of little kids have a decision to make because they get into situations where the kids do something that they don't like, or they want to climb down from the table when they're eating, or they don't want to go to bed, or whatever, normal everyday behaviors.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is a way of thinking, a way of looking at, if you will, doing this job of parenting that doesn't ever change. It's really your principles. And so back to spanking or hitting or threatening or yelling or all of this aggressive power behavior, it's making a rule for yourself that's not in my repertoire.
You also say this, and parents, hold on to your hats here, that if a parent can't stop using spanking as a disciplinary method, that parent should seek professional help.
Yes.
That's a big statement, Jerry.
Yes. Yeah, well, part of it has to do with this anger reaction. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us need professional help to reduce our anger so that we can talk to ourselves and say, hey, this is not that big a deal. I need to calm myself. There's a whole field of cognitive therapy that focuses on how to talk to yourself so that you ease your own stress, you get along better with people, you're more socially competent.
Let me go to some calls here. John from Kansas City, Missouri. John, good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I was wondering if the experts could comment on sort of the dilemma that some parents face when it comes to that team of raising a child like that you were mentioning before, specifically having a nanny, you know, do help with the raising while a parent's at work versus a daycare versus, you know, obviously one parent choosing to not work during young childhood and staying home. And I can take my answer off the air.
Yeah, appreciate it. Good question, John. Barbara? The team approach.
Yeah, the team approach. Well, you know, the idea is that we look at all kinds of things for safety. What is a child care center like? What are the rooms like? How many caregivers are there? But do we ask the question, how do you discipline when a child does something? And again, so millions of kids under the age of 5 are in this situation. So we're not just talking about a small number of children. How do you discipline kids when they do something wrong? What do you do? What are your strategies? What is your policy on hitting? What is your policy on spanking?
I'm not sure a lot of parents ask those
questions. I know. And it was fascinating as we started to talk to parents about it, even on the sense of they may talk to there's a great nonprofit here called Charlie's House, for example, that is about a safe, making your home safe. So they think about plugging up the plugs, or they think about not, you know, pulling over the dresser, which is a fabulous thing to think about. But also the we can prevent so much harm to kids if we childproof our homes and childproof the way we discipline. It's a new way of thinking about it. Not new, I should say. It's not really new.
And that includes grandparents.
Yes.
Yeah, because grandparents, you know, your father said, well, you know, I would smack him.
Yeah.
And my father would have said that.
Yes, right.
But, you know, that we have to come to terms with our grandparents or our children's grandparents to make sure that they're on the same page.
That could be some interesting conversations.
Yeah, and back to explaining why. I mean, to the child care provider or to the nanny or to the grandparent, you know, just like you don't want the kids to eat a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Same. Why do you do that?
Well, speaking of food, let me go to a phone call about nutrition. Flo from Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, host. And yes.
Hi,
my
Flo.
Question is, hi, that's nutrition add a factor to behavior in children?
How big a factor is nutrition when it comes to kids' behavior, Jerry?
Well, it is a factor. As a matter of fact, we know that sugar's not good for us. That's more and more coming out about that. A lot of kids have problems with gluten, and they're not celiac. They don't have celiac disease, which is that stomach problem from gluten, but they have behavioral issues associated with the sensitivity to gluten or to other kinds of chemicals. And so it's just like all of us need healthier diets, and one of the ways to do healthier diets for the family is to read all the labels, cut out processed food, get simple, cook at home, you know, all of those kinds of things so that children have good nutrition just like we need.
Barbara, I got 30 seconds left. I made a big deal in the opening about talking about parents who struggle to get their kids to bed. Mm-hmm. You would say what to them just briefly?
I would say that you need to set up a bedtime routine so that you, depending on the age of the child again, making sure there's a lot of exercise and again back to nutrition and drinking so that when you get ready to go to bed, it's a pleasant experience. It's something that doesn't become a battle between the parents and adults. Kids don't want to go to bed. Why? They want to stay up and have more fun. What's wrong with that? Nothing. It's normal behavior.
Barbara Unell and Jerry Wyckoff are the author of a new book, Discipline with Love and Limits, How to Raise Well-Behaved Children and Calmly Manage the 43 Most Common Behavior Problems. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the conversation.
Thank you.